Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hey everyone, Alex here. So, this conversation with Connie of East Fork is rich and vibrant and honest. And unfortunately, we were having some connectivity issues on our call. Nevertheless, it was too good to scratch and start over. So I just wanted to give you a heads up that when you're listening, you will hear some feedback and a little bit of glitchiness. I hope you can hear past it and that you still enjoy the story of how East Fork came to be. This is Connie of East Fork. Take care.
Hi, I'm Alex L., and I write books for a living. The Hey Girl podcast was created with sisterhood and storytelling in mind. Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Join us as we journey through sharing together.
Hey girl.
Hey girl.
Hi, Connie.
Hi.
I am very happy to have you on the show.
I'm so happy to be here. I've been looking forward to an excuse to get to talk to you for so long. So here it is.
Yes, here it is. The feeling is absolutely mutual. Before we dive into this conversation, though, please let the Hey Girl listeners know who you are and what you do.
Sure. My name is Connie Matisse. I am the CMO and co-founder at East Fork. We are a ceramics manufacturing company based in Nashville, North Carolina. And the company's been up and running for about 10 years, but we've really started taking off and making it a real viable business for ourselves and lots of other people just in the last couple of years. So that's what I do. And I raise some kids and try to stay above water.
You guys have been an East Fork customer since you guys started a few years ago scaling up, and I found you on social and I just literally fell in love. All of our dishes are East Fork. All of my coffee mugs are East Fork, with the exception of maybe two. So let's start with East Fork, how it was born, and just the different changes you guys have gone through over the past 10 years.
Yeah, sure. So when the company started, it could definitely not be called the company. It was my husband at the time, was my boyfriend. He had, we met in the middle of nowhere. I was kind of passing through rural North Carolina thinking I was going to be heading back to New York or LA or whatever, and ended up meeting this guy who had just bought some property out in Madison County, North Carolina, where he was building what he called a pottery. I had no idea what that meant. I didn't realize the tradition of pottery making in North Carolina and the Southeast U.S. in general. I knew that it was, that pottery was like a thing that people did at, you know, in art or something, but had no idea that, I didn't know what I was getting myself into. When he started building it, it was like this 36 foot long, 6 foot tall brick structure. And it all started making a little bit more sense. But the first time I showed up to like a craft show, he was like, just to warn you, like, it gets crazy. People fight over pottery and there's like a line around the block and people line up for like camp out the night before to like get their prime spot to make sure that they can get their best pot. And I didn't believe it. And then it was true. Like, there's this like pottery mania down here. So it started off like that, with him being taking like a very traditional approach to this very vernacular style of rural Southeastern wood-fired pottery. And he did that for a while. We had a business partner join us, and we'd work together for a while. I was really trying to do my own thing. And then in about 2015, we started getting lonely, and we felt like kind of alienated from the rest of the world in a way. And we were all people who had like a lot of feelings about the world and how we thought it should operate, and just started wanting to bring more people into the fold so that we could be in more of a community on an everyday basis. And that's how the shift started happening.
That's pretty amazing. I watched the video that you guys did that was on Vimeo, and just to see Alex explain his process and the roots of East Fork, it was really stunning and inspiring. And East Fork has grown. You guys have a cult following of customers who
love East Fork.
I set my timers. Like, there's very few. I support small businesses a lot, but there's very few that I like set my timer for, because I know if I blink, everything's going to be gone.
What it is about it that gets you. I mean, I remember this when you saw your first order come through, and I was like, I recognize that name. Hey, I follow her on Instagram. Like, what is she doing buying her pottery? It's so fun to see people who we admire from all over the place. Because at first it was like people, we kind of were 10 degrees of separation from most people who were buying our pottery. And it was so exciting when we first started seeing that reach really growing. And I get why people like it, but I also I love to hear about what it is that draws people to it or to the company in general. But anyway, we were very excited when you placed your first order.
Alex L loves coffee and mugs and ceramics. And my husband's always like, you needed another mug. I'm like, don't worry about it. It's happening. But also I have gifted East Fork to friends and family, and I've given away a mug or two just because I want people to hold it in their hands. Like, it's the sturdiest mug in the world, and the toddler cup and the plates are durable. And I was really looking for a collection made by a small business to bring into our home that are heirloom pieces. And I'm pretty sentimental in that regard. I know my mom still has plates from when I was a kid that her grandmother handed down. So it was that feeling for me. But also the mug just really got me. And I know the mug needs its own Instagram by now, because it is truly a work of art. It's simple, but it's beautiful. It's sturdy and it feels good in your hand. And I think what drew me to East Fork was the family aspect. I love your authenticity on social. I love that it's a husband and wife business. I love that you share your kids and that you share, you know, Lucky Charms in the East Fork bowl and not necessarily like only a kale salad. You know what I mean? Like, it's fun. It's relatable. It's a family business, and it really gives me that feeling of community.
The fact that so many homeware brands really stick to this cookie cutter model of how they present their wares, it's always kind of vaguely healthy food with shot overhead. And I don't know, we see a lot of kale. I love kale salads, but we see so many kale salads on our field of feet every day. I just don't feel I need to be putting out more kale salad content.
There's a lot of kale salads in the world. We need more shots of Lucky Charms and Fruit Loops, you know, here and there. It won't hurt it.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit.
And the rosé coming out of, you know, the mug instead of coffee. I love it all. It's fun and it feels really lighthearted. And I want to switch gears a bit and talk about how pottery and East Fork in particular, over the past 2 years, as the brand has grown and things have just kind of gone wild with the brand, how community has played such a big role in not only the growth of East Fork, but how you connect with the people who are buying your pottery.
Sure, yeah. So a lot of people have asked us why we are growing, and a lot of people are pretty confused by it. We get a lot of questions doesn't Alex John miss making pots, having their hands in clay every day? Don't you miss it when it was just a couple people? And sometimes we're nostalgic for that time when it was really small, but the three of us unanimously agree that we would never go back to what we were doing before. And the challenges that we face now with a growing company are so much more dynamic. They are so much more engaging. They put us, and most importantly, they put us in such raw connection with other humans in our Asheville community and other people who work here in Asheville. That is been incredibly challenging, but also incredibly meaningful for us. So we were a team of two and then four and then 10, and now we're 65 people. Probably will be around 80 by the end of next year. We had someone who'd been working here for a few days who I had no idea what their name was. That is a really wild thing. We remedied that quickly, but because we feel like this business can really be a transformational place for Western North Carolina, we're starting to see that we can have a real economic and social impact on our little mountain city by being in community with the people who work here at East Fork. Asheville's wonderful. There's lots of reasons to come visit here. It's beautiful. There's great food, fun things to do, places to stay, all that stuff. Lots of good things to say about Asheville, but there's also extreme economic disparity in Asheville, extreme segregation, redlining from the 30s that still keeps communities apart. This was the one tiny little way where we can try to do something different and try to remedy some of that and make some ripples around us. So yeah, so we're doing this all, growing this business in service of the community of people who work here at East Fork and the communities that they touch.
Seeing seeing y'all do your community gatherings and eating together and cooking together really touches me for some reason. Like, I have this soft spot in my heart for gathering over food. And I actually wrote down in my journal the other day that a goal of mine as I get older and my circle, you know, of community grows is to have gatherings where people bring a dish, people come cook, and we sit down and we eat, and our kids are at the table or running around, and like, we're just really in company with each other. When I first saw that, you sharing that on social media, I was like, my heart fluttered. East Fork is so much more than a pottery company. It's really a family. And I can tell that from the transparency on social media, from the care that goes into my packages, just from the customer service all around. Like, your team is just really kick ass. And the customers, you know, we all communicate in the comments, and we are, you know, it's just great. I could rant all day.
We really drank the Kool-Aid. We've like gotten really lucky. Obviously not. And I make sure that when people come on to East Fork, I'm like, listen, you're going to meet a lot of people who would get East Fork tattooed on their forehead once you walk into to work here at East Fork. I just want to say, like, you want to just come here and have a job and make pots and go home, that's fine. But chances are you might start drinking the Kool-Aid after. We started off making lunches together way back when we were a very small team. We always ate together, and we kind of built that into our budget really early on, just like 10 people. And so we've been able to carry that out a little bit less to scale. Like, now we, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, East Fork pays for groceries, and we have a kitchen manager who's awesome. And then, but we also have folks who rotate in, and anyone can volunteer to cook lunch with the crew, which it's really fun to see what people, we have such good cooks on our team. Like, everybody makes very different food, and nothing is, we have not had a bad meal yet since we've had folks cooking. We have to do a photo shoot this week for, we finally have enough weeknight serving bowls to actually market them. And so I just sent a Slack this morning asking if anyone wanted to like make some potluck dishes to bring in tomorrow to photograph. And we had 8 volunteers immediately who was like, I'll make smoky mac and cheese and I'll make this. Everyone's going to go home tonight and like cook and bring food in to share tomorrow. And it's just, it has become so much a part of the culture here. There's people bring baked goods in every day. I'm like, there's so much pecan pie out right now. It's amazing. Like, I love cooking for my, for the people that I love. It's just such a clear expression of gratitude.
Yes, I agree with that. Let's talk about raising kids and running a business and what that looks like for work-life balance and work-life harmony. And just to throw another thing in there, like working so closely with your spouse and what that does for your connection as husband and wife, but then also as individuals.
There's no one thing that you can say that about working with your spouse that's going to be applicable for everyone. I think the same thing is true for working while you have children. I was reading this great article about the work-life balance and how it doesn't really have to do with what's going on in your life. Like, either you're a person who tends to say yes to everything, and like, no matter what you sort of intentions you set for yourself, like, you're kind of for the rest of your life. And there are people who have like much stronger boundaries and who saying no comes pretty easily. Or I've always been a person who tends to overextend themselves, who says yes to everything. And I don't think that I want to fundamentally change that about myself. But what that means for my relationship with Alex, I mean, both of us are working all the time. We bring home, we don't have any ability to leave work at the door. We've tried so many ways to do that, and it just doesn't work for us. It feels really unnatural when we try. Knowing that about ourselves, knowing that like this, we just need to be fully in it in order to do it. Like, I can't think about compartmentalizing myself into like work self and maternal self. And the way that I reconcile that is including my kids as part of those work conversations and like bringing them into, you know, they come into the office, they use the stuff at home every day, they know people who work here, they play with clay, they feel part of this community, and they feel very proud that they're part of this East Fork community. When Alex grew up, his parents really separated work and family, and like they would go and do their work kind of in secret and private, and then the kids were kind of shielded from that. And Alex talks a lot about how that made his parents feel very distant from him growing up, and we kind of take the opposite extreme where knowing that our life is kind of chaos all the time with running this business, I'm trying to like extend an invitation to like let my kids feel included in that instead of like, oh, mom is going to work. That's something that's like not related to me. And it's hard. My kids get really frustrated. Zita's like 4 now, but she's just too smart for her own good. And she'll just be like, mom, dad, you need to stop talking about work. I need your
full attention on me. She'll just say it point blank. And it's so nice to have her be able to just call, like, kind of snap us out of it. It's hard. It never stops. And it's like a can of worms that it's like, I'd really let myself get vulnerable and talk about how hard it is. I wouldn't be able to stop. But
I like that you mentioned that it's tough. It's not easy, you know, and that you have to intertwine everything to kind of make it feel good and natural for you. Mm-hmm. A lot of times as entrepreneurs, folks on the outside looking in are like, oh, they have it all. They did it. They made it. You know, they're working for themselves full time. And yes, all of that. Yeah. But also it's really hard. And especially when you're a parent and trying to balance, you know, work and home, or maybe you can't balance work and home and they all kind of intermix, and like what that looks like and feels like on a day-to-day basis. And more people need to be talking about the challenges of running a business.
People who have really beautiful craft practices who then want to monetize it and make it part of their, make it their business. And I think there's this myth that like everyone's work should be their passion. And I just don't think that's true. I think that's really important to think really hard if the thing that you love doing, for like the pure pursuit of loving doing it, is something that you actually want to like throw into the capitalist rat race and like have to make your source of income. Because it changes it completely. It works for us because our interest is more about growing a business rather than clay. It's always going to be our medium. It's always pottery. It's always going to be the thing that we make. But like currently we think of business as our craft. So it's easier to step away from the hands-on parts of it. But I don't think that's true for most people. My days, you know, I wake up at 4:45. I get on my computer from 5 to 7, feed kids, make sure everyone's dressed, get everyone to school and daycare, go to work for an 8-hour day, feed kids, bathe them, get them in bed, work for another 2 hours, and then Alex and I try to stay pretty social. We don't really, our home life is just, I don't know, it's like a home is like a place we sleep right now, and it's not how I want to live for forever, but I'm trying to be okay with the fact that that's what life is right now and not force myself to fix it. Having more forgiveness and acceptance of it. Like if this business is something that we've chosen to do, and I can't complain about all the things that are not the way that I want them to be that are in other parts of my life. This is the bed I made. So
I think that's important too, especially as someone who makes things for a living. I hope that the people listening who are interested in turning their passion into their profession, that like you said, they know what they're getting into. Like it's really hard. With me, for example, I'm an author, I write books for a living, and I worked really hard to get here, but sometimes I don't want to pick up a pen and paper. I guess my passion to write how it used to be before I had the book deals and before the quote unquote success and before the financial stuff and all of that, it's like grinding, passion. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, I think I just wrote a book. It's coming out in 2020 and I literally have nothing else to say right now. And giving myself grace, giving myself grace to like not always have to perform and not always have to execute, especially because this work is different. It's a collection of essays, right? So it's like, it's just big and heavy. And with you guys and pottery, yes, passion in pottery, and also like it's hard work. And you see the beautiful pictures on Instagram, and you see the community gatherings, and you see the work that we're doing in the world. But outside of all of that, you know, you're still a husband and wife team. You're still, you know, parents. You still have staff. You still have people who work very closely with you in the business. And it's just a lot. It is a lot. I understand what you mean. Totally. Let's talk about self-care for a second and what that looks like, if it looks like anything. And don't feel like you need to like have an answer, because it could be self-care is literally going to the bathroom and saying, no, you can't come in to the kids. Like that's self-care too. I had a guest say that the other day. She was like, self-care is going to the bathroom and locking the door.
I'm in a much better mental soul place right now than I was this time last year after I had my second baby. Motherhood is actually never like, I'm always curious to know what my life would be like if I was like working a job that was had less pressure and could spend more time at home. Because I don't want to say that motherhood is easy. It's not. Like, I mean, my 4-year-old, my 2-year-old drive me so bananas right now. Like, they're really testing the limits of my patience. But it's a very different type of stress and anxiety for me than work. I cope with motherhood stress very differently than I do with work stress. I internalize my motherhood stress much less than work stress. Like, my kids can say mean things to me, and I'm pretty good at deflecting it. But, like, when there's chaos and drama and, like, kind of human stuff going on at work, I, like, it just digs, like, so deep into my, I don't know what it is. That said, there was a full year last year where I was having really insane insomnia. Like, I was sleeping, like, 2 to 3 hours a night. It was pretty awful. And I couldn't, no matter what I did, I tried all of, like, the turning my phone off when I got home from work and doing all of the essential oils and having a meditation practice. I tried and nothing worked. I had so much anxiety at night. I started taking Ambien. The Ambien stopped working. After a point, I was like a frail, just a ghost of myself, just unable to give anything, especially unable to give anything to myself. I was so tired that I had no idea even how to begin to heal. My husband forced me to take a couple of days off work. He was like, you just are not allowed to come into the office. I need you to not come to work. I don't care what happens. You have to drop all your balls. Like, you need to just go outside. And that was really hard, but I did it. I got on an anti-anxiety medicine. I started not working at night. After the kids went to bed, I would just go to sleep with my kids. I'd put them to bed and just sleep in the bed with them, turn off the lights at 9 p.m. And over the course of 6 months, I got my sleep schedule back on, and sleep, that was revolutionary. So I would say my self-care is starting to prioritize my sleep more. When I'm tired at night, I go to sleep, which is I wasn't doing that before. I would just push through and work. So yeah, knowing when to close my computer feels like, yeah, prioritizing sleep for the first time in my life, it's felt like a really big change. Outside of that, though, I maybe get to a yoga class once every month and a half with my sister. I try really hard to take some deep breaths when I'm in the bathroom. when I turn my Calm app on for Vita to play a sleep story and it says, take a deep breath, I'm like, wow, I haven't done that all day long. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
It's, also being okay with only having a couple friends, that feels really revolutionary too. Like, I've been saying no to, for the first time, to any incoming. Sounds awful to say, but I'm so cherishing the time I have with my kids and my husband and maybe 3 or 4 close people that I know already really well. Making new friends has been hard lately, and at first I was kind of mourning that, but right now I'm accepting that, and it feels really good to just have my small intimate community who I can be myself with, separate from the having to be a public face of this business.
That is good, and that's self-care.
Yeah,
for sure. So before we wrap up this call, I want us to take a deep breath together, and I want you to leave an I am affirmation for yourself in this episode. So when you go back and listen to it, maybe when it airs, or maybe we revisit it in a year, what you may need to hear. Okay, so let's take a deep breath together.
I am loving.
Thank you so much, Connie, for your time today. I love this. I wish I could talk to you all day.
I know. We'll have to make another time to do it.
Well, I know y'all are busy, and I value your time, so thank you.
Thanks for listening to the show today. Please rate, subscribe, and review. Also, feel free to share with a friend. We love having our community grow. Music is by DC's own Kokai.
The Hey Girl podcast is produced by Wayne Bartram and me, Alex L.